Good morning, everyone. You know, it's rumored that Hallmark greeting card company started Mother's Day. I don't think so. No. Actually, Mother's Day has been around a lot longer than Hallmark greeting cards. And the first modern-day Mother's Day celebration was held in 1907 by Anna Jarvis at the Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia. So thank you, Anna Jarvis, and happy Mother's Day. The announcements are that today, as you leave, there will be flowers that are provided by the spiritual care team that you can take get a special blessing for the mothers in the congregation. So be sure to check that at the back as you're leaving. Now, there's a lot of things in the church bulletin and on the calendar. Certainly have a look at week at a glance. There's lots of activities this week. See if any of them pertain to you. Certainly, and it looks like a full three-page bulletin insert. We do have a couple of highlights. The German worship service is the final one. The conclusion is happening on Sunday, June the 4th. And Pentecost is coming up, and communion is coming up. Take a look at the announcement in the bulletin about serving communion. That's a special note. And there are many others about things that are happening in the church as we go. Today's call to worship, I'm going to be reading from Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. I'd ask the song people, the worship band.
Good morning. Please stand with us as we sing our first song, The Love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen.
Special day today. My mother's been gone a little while now, but some of you probably remember her, members of our congregation who've been here a while. When I was 1 year old, my mom and dad were in an accident, a head-on collision, and my mother had three vertebrae broken in her spine at the base of her neck. She's in a body cast from her waist up for months, in traction and therapy for years. She lived her life basically with constant headaches and neck pain. But she didn't let that stop her. She worked on the farm. She worked at the canning factory. She worked at two different Mennonite homes for the aged. Mom and Dad moved to Leamington in 1980. And she did a lot of work here in the church. She was a Sunday school teacher and a youth leader, a girls club leader, a soloist in the choir. And she started the ladies choir in this church, who served this church for many years. But the thing was, at home, she was mom. And she loved us, our family and us, very, very much. And I can't think of anything that I don't remember her very fondly. She was a wife, a mother. She'd always hold a special, she's always going to hold a special place in my heart. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, be with us this morning as we celebrate our mothers. Mothers are a very special and really special people, and whether they are here with us or are in our memories, they hold a special place in our hearts. Bless the message we will hear this morning, and bless Ziggy as she speaks to us. Open our hearts and minds to the message in song and word as we listen and sing along. Thank you for this beautiful spring day. Spring is always a time of renewal and growth, and we look forward to spending more time outdoors in your beautiful creation. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Our next song, The Goodness of God, might be new for some of us. So if you'd like to sing along, that'd be wonderful. Otherwise, feel free to listen to the lyrics. The children, please come forward for children's story.
Well, good morning once again. Such an exciting day. Do we want to remind everybody out there, what day is it today? Mother's Day. Okay, so have any of you spoiled your mom yet today? What did you do, Stephanie? Oh, my goodness, so many cards, right? What a great thing. Anybody else? Veronica? You made a card also? Awesome. I saw what you made. Oh, it's hidden. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't ruin a surprise. Okay, we'll pretend we didn't hear that. That's awesome. Mason, what about you? Flowers. Fantastic. Awesome. Evelyn? I have to repeat that. So mom wanted to go on a picnic, but you wanted to go to the zoo, so you're going to the zoo and having a picnic. It's a win-win. I love it. That's the greatest idea ever. What about you, Marcus? You made your grandma a card too. So nice. Now, you have got this all covered. I think you've got your Mother's Day plans, but in case you wanted some additional ideas, I'm ready for you. Did you know, I read this in the news, it's an American statistic, but still, I'm going to share it, that in the United States, they're estimating all totaled, people will spend $35 billion on stuff for Mother's Day. Can you believe that? That's a lot of money. So I thought, in case you're thinking, what are we going to do? What am I going to get for my mom? I've got a gift idea for you right here. Do we have any readers who can help us out? Callan, what does that say? Best Mother's Day gift ever, and also in brackets, small print, for fathers and caregivers too. Interesting. This is the best Mother's Day gift ever. And I'm really excited. What do you think is in there? Does anybody want to guess? The very, very best. Mason? Flowers and cards? Yeah, good guess. Marcus? Still thinking? You think. I'll go. Veronica, what do you think? Best Mother's Day gift ever. More cards, more flowers. Stephanie, what do you think? More art and cards. You are very thoughtful people. I was thinking you'd come up with like diamonds, keys to a new car, tickets for a vacation, something like that. You're just all about the cards and flowers. What do you think, Callan? Oh, love. That's a good one. I'm going to say you might be on the right track. Let's see. Let's open it up. See what's inside. It's a Bible with another clue. Says, read this. Let's see where it is. All right, there's a highlighted passage. It's here in Ephesians, verse 6. Here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. That is interesting. Evelyn says maybe there's something else in the bag. That's it, friend. That's it. This is the best Mother's Day gift ever. I am so curious. But you know what? This is interesting. This verse is written to children. It says, children, obey your parents. Sometimes it says, children, honor your parents. And you know, honoring, obeying, and Bible's gone through lots of translations. It includes what Callan talks about, loving, listening, doing what's right, and listening to our parents and doing the things they ask us to do. And that is so hard. Like when you're playing your brand new video game and it's time to get ready for bed, it's hard to stop. And when we're arguing with our sister and we're told we need to stop, that's hard too. Maybe because maybe we're a little bit frustrated. Or maybe when it's time to stop playing outside and time to come in for dinner and I don't want to stop playing, right? But listening and doing what our parents ask us to do is what the Bible is telling us is right. It's telling us it's the best gift ever. And you know what? I'm a mom. I've got grown boys, but I'll tell you, that was the best gift. It still is. Listening children who want to do what their parents ask them to do. It is the best gift. Even better than diamonds and trips and flowers and cards. But here's the best part of all. You know how Evelyn's got the win-win, the picnic at the zoo? There's a win-win in here too. See, your parents are winning because they're getting obedient, listening kids. But the ending is that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. It's saying that when you do all the good stuff and listen to your parents, your life gets good too. So doing the right thing benefits you as well. And I think that's awesome. That's a present for your moms and your dads and your caregivers, but it's a present for you too. So let's pray about that. God, thank you for mothers, for fathers, and for families. And help us to give the best gift ever to our mothers and our parents, obedience. We know this is going to be tough sometimes, so help us to remember and forgive us when we forget. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Alvin and Praise and Worship Choir. A little earlier in the service, I couldn't help but hearing some little baby noises here and there throughout the sanctuary. What a blessing that is. And Oma Erna, Gross Oma Erna, holding Wesley, is it? Yeah, Wesley, great. And another one back here. What a blessing it is to share as a family together. Blessings for those who are gathering later today or perhaps did yesterday. And just a joyful time to share our commitments of love and acknowledgement of those who have been so significant in our nurture and faith. Just to share a note, the flowers in front here on the in front of the pulpit in honor of Henry Harder, whose funeral service was here on Friday. And Ursula and Peter, apologies for missing you being listed in the bulletin for those condolences. Also, Ed and Mary Ann singing in the choir as well. And blessings in memory of your father. We'll also share on Friday, Gertrude Workington died. And Gertrude wasn't here very often. She lived at Lynn Haven facility for not that long, actually. She was still in an apartment. But on the 20th of May, Gertrude would have reached her 101st birthday, born in 1922. And so with her family, actually two sons predeceased her, and her other son, Arthur, lives in Florida. Actually, at Gertrude's request, there will not be a public funeral service, but have talked about a memorial service for family in the near future. And so we want to wish their Gertrude's family and extended family our condolences. Recognizing the care and influence mothers have had on our lives, as Paul Adams and I discussed this day some time ago, we both had kind of thought, you know, it would be nice on Mother's Day to actually hear from a mother rather than us father male pastors to speak. And so appreciate that Ziggy Wright accepted our invitation to share this morning, and we look forward to that. As Ron mentioned a little earlier, Hallmark cards, contrary to popular belief, did not start Mother's Day. And it was actually beginning as a day of protest. Mothers who were angry that their sons were being sent off to war and that their children were not being protected. And so that's how marches and protests events began. It was about 1921, 22, somewhere in there, 100 years ago, Hallmark entered the fray, and a little bit of a twist there. But anyway, we want to recognize this special day with our mothers. After the service, as mentioned, spiritual care team will be sharing flowers. Please, they will be, I think it's on this side here, for you to pick those up in honor of mothers. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God of care and compassion, as Jesus said, gather us together as a community of faith, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And here in this sanctuary, in this place of rest, we find nurture of faith that leads to life. We thank you, O God, for the influence of caring parents who, through various trials and stumbling, they find their way of reflecting your love and grace for our lives. As we seek to learn from your word, help us to live by your commandments, which were given to lead us to your blessings of peace, of forgiveness, and of compassion. For those parents we live with and for those who have gone on before us, grant us, God, the joy of your eternal hope as we remember them in faith and love. Today, God, we hold in prayer mothers in particular, those who protect their children from war, and for those today who are experiencing violence in war-torn countries of the world, places like Ukraine, Myanmar, Palestine, and various places in Latin America. All of these parents who seek safety and opportunities for their children, grant them safety and grant them a place of peace. Gracious God, we hold in prayer families of Henry Harder and Gertrude Workington, those who have most recently gone before us. Thank you for their witnesses of faith, for the legacy of love and trust in you that they shared with others. Gracious God, for these days, we also pray for families that challenge with balancing financial budgets, priorities, and activities of life. Grant to us wisdom to grow in faith and knowledge of you that shapes our lives for the blessing and hope for others. Gracious God, we pray for those seeking meaningful work for these days, for the challenges that employers face of finding workers and what that does for us as a larger society. For these days of springtime and the blossoms, we also pray for those who are planting crops during this springtime, the seeds of hope to feed our communities and the world for the future. Grant growth and wisdom in the nurture of plants as we seek also to nurture our families. Gracious God, we also pray for ourselves as a congregation seeking to be the source of spiritual foundation and hope for families of our community. Bless the tithes and offerings we share for the growing of your kingdom here and forevermore. And we thank you, God, for the strength and wisdom shared with Ziggy as she shares from your word this morning. Grant to us a conviction of faith and hope and trust in you that will carry us for the days ahead. In all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I don't think we've ever heard that one before. Today's verse says, are from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 until 9, page 284 of your Pew Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Good morning. You're going to be hearing those verses a couple more times. A mother's or parent's hope. I was going to say to Pastor Randy, careful what you ask for. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Whether you're a mother, stepmother, foster mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, or a female figure who's prominent in child's life, be they a young child or an adult child, happy Mother's Day. To start, I'd like to talk about books. Books have had and still do have a huge impact on my life. I love books. I read all the time. I have a paperback in my living room, books on my nightstand, and books on my phone. I read romances, spiritual guidance, gardening, and organizational books. Books have given me joy and information. They've made me laugh, cry, relax, as well as question and learn. They've allowed me to investigate, understand, form opinions, be thoughtful, share knowledge, and most important, make a connection with my children as they grew. I read to my children and grandchildren since before they were born. I remember some of our favorites were The Mummy Market, about finding a new mother at a local market when my son was unhappy with his. When my son had a nightmare about monsters, we read Karen Feeding of Your Pet Monster. And Donna Oneshuck Was Chased by Some Cows, a rhyming storybook, just for fun. Then there's the Holy Bible. I still have my Good News Bible I received as a teenager. I also have my family Bible from my parents when I got married, a study Bible, and a note-taker's Bible because I'm often making notes. My children got their first children's Bible as infants. It was a soft cloth four-page book that they could chew on. I believe it came from one of their sets of grandparents. Then there is one they received in grade four from this church. Later, there is a more comic or manga style. The Bible gives us many clues, ideas, and directions for life with children, no matter who you are in a child's life. I see Luke 18, verse 16 as showing the importance of raising children in a Christian way and encouraging them to engage in church life at an early age, allowing them to feel free and happy, and we get to hear a joyful noise. Luke says, but Jesus called to them and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The Bible also teaches us the importance of humor in parenting with Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed in strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. As an example of this, my kids will say or do something mildly annoying, and it ends up making me laugh, to which one of them will quip, it's okay, she's laughing, we're not in trouble. Although I feel the following verse, Proverbs 31:26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue, does not exactly describe me at times. Then there's Proverbs 22:17. Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, They will not turn from it. When children follow Jesus, it's a parent's greatest joy. And when they turn from God, it's a parent's greatest sorrow, because either way, it affects their eternal life. Deuteronomy 6:5 is the passage that stuck out when I was trying to figure out what to say today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. And then 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. We pray our children won't turn from God, but many do, usually at the junior high school age when friends and finding their own identity becomes paramount. Life experiences for them are sometimes negative, even within the church. Our children go elsewhere or sadly nowhere. I can only imagine my own parents' joy when in adulthood I returned to church after years of living the way I wanted. In high school, I had one foot in the church and one foot in the world. I'd go to senior youth and party with my non-Christian friends from school. I was arrogant and thought I had it all together. Fun times during the weekend with church sprinkled in. Even when I did return as an adult, a mother, I see now it was mostly show. I've matured and grown in my faith over the last 15 years or so and turned my heart more solidly to Christ. As I get older, it becomes more important to live the life of a Christian more openly, not just go through the motions. Not just because eternal life is on the horizon, but because it is right and God is good. Several weeks ago, Tom Neufeld spoke in our church and shared a quote by Menno Simons. True evangelical faith is of such a nature that it cannot lie dormant, but spreads itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love, and can be spread in a family where we love each other. But I consider how many years it has taken me to get to this point, and I'm still, and expect I always will be, a work in progress. My son was raised in this church until he was 15, and he decided he did not believe in God. When he was young, he thought it was all a nice story for those of weak minds who needed such beliefs. I asked him to read my sermon and discovered it wasn't so much that as he had difficulty with religion, the structured form. Faith is difficult for him because it isn't a tangible to him. It's a different kind of difficulty. In the past, I've felt guilt and shame over this, my failure, because I was not the faithful follower of Christ I should have been in my child's early years. I had felt unqualified to teach my children anything about God since I was only living faith part-time. My limited understanding led me to think, that's why we have ministers, Sunday school teachers, and youth programming, after all. There are things I did do with my children on a regular basis. I hugged them, played with them, told them I loved them, and taught them life skills. I read the occasional Bible story to them and said bedtime prayers when they were very young. But there are also times I did not most show my Christian beliefs in my behavior. I've since given this shame and guilt over to the Lord and come to realize I am not alone, and there are many parents who have the same situation, an adult child who is not a follower of Christ. That knowledge that I'm not alone is a relief, and I'd like to share some of the ideas I'm working on in my own home. This is not about our children returning to the church or even this church. I'm emphasizing the desire to have our children return to faith. Our hope should always be that our children love God with all their heart, follow Jesus and trust him fully through the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit in this present time and into the future, and we all meet at home in heaven. Our hope is in Jesus. As mothers and fathers, we pray for these adult children's souls to turn or return to the way, But what else can we do? The Bible gives information and tools that I've realized recently is also for parents of adult children. Perseverance of praying for my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren is so important, even to the point where I may not be around to see the results. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Including, give thanks for our adult children regardless of their current beliefs. So I continue to pray for all my children daily. As I read earlier, Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 7, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And maybe even when you're in the car, sitting around a campfire, doing dishes, saying goodnight. I try a simple, 'I love you, God loves you, and I'll continue to pray for you,' and see where it goes, with the understanding that this is not a quick fix. It will require my patience, compassion, and time, potentially years. As I said earlier, my own Bible, I own many Bibles, but they were all in my bedroom. How do I begin a conversation, not a lecture, with my child if my Bible is not in plain view and easily accessible? I placed one on my living room table and waited to see if any conversations would start. I also prayed that God would help me lead or respond to a comment to start the conversation. Another idea given by a Right Now Media series was to speak to my children without anger, resentment, frustration, and hurt. A difficult task for some families where the adult children or parents can be in dire circumstances repeatedly. That can foster negative emotions and angry, hurtful words. Every stage of a child's life is different. They need us when they are young and less so as they age. It's also true that parents need to grow and change with each step of a child's life in order to stay relevant in theirs. Another important step I take is being ready to sincerely apologize. Regardless of who was right or wrong, I made them feel sad or frustrated, hurt or angry, or dismissed their feelings as insignificant. I needed to ask for forgiveness. It always comes back to the Bible. Parenthood mimics our Heavenly Father's love for us and care of us. He wants what is best for us despite our own intentions and wants. He knows what is best for us, and we just think we do. We must practice what we preach. We cannot be polite to strangers, then turn and be harsh with our children, even adult children, and not apologize for making them feel unloved. I must apologize to them, make things right with them, and then make things right with God. God constantly talks about love. He's shown us the meaning of sacrificial love and his compassion for us when he sent his son to us to teach us, guide us, to love us, and to give hope to us. He sacrificed his son to die for us, and Jesus rose for us so we could have everlasting life with him. So what do I sacrifice to turn my adult child to God? Humility? Maybe eat some crow? I share some honesty and ask for forgiveness? Sacrifice some of my own pride? Small prices to pay for their soul's eternal life. It is our responsibility and our pleasure as parents and grandparents to teach our children about God and model that faith. It is God's job to bring them home to him. I'm sure every child, regardless of age, has a list of what their parents did wrong. Our life experiences and trust in God help us to cope, to lean on him, to ask for help, to listen for his guidance, to share that information and love with our child, regardless of that child's age. We need to pray for courage and depend on God's guidance more than ever as we guide our children and they guide their children in a life where every day is new territory, watching the world change as in many ways it stays the same. My husband and I should have been disciples to our children within our own home. We should have continued with prayer at mealtime, as my parents taught me, not only when remembered occasionally or during special events. There should have been Bible readings daily and discussion. This is what I'm trying to do now: plant the seeds and watch God make them grow. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed about my beliefs. I've become okay with rocking the boat and bringing up biblical topics in order to have discussions. Sometimes it's a simple, look what a beautiful morning God has given us. I have to be willing to say, I don't know. I don't have the answer. But let's find someone who can help us look for the answer. This could be the Bible, a minister, a trusted media outlet, or a book that we can each read and discuss our individual findings. My Bible is in full view, and I read it in their presence. I talk about my faith. I listen to Christian music and watch Christian programming through YouTube, Right Now Media, and Angel Studios in front of my family, not just on headphones, in private. Luke 8:16 tells us no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. I'm praying for courage in difficult conversations. I must be willing to thank my children for their honesty when their criticism can hurt. I need to apologize without self-justification. But I did my best. But I was young. But I didn't know then what I know now. More often now, I'm talking about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Bible. The times God has blessed me or our family, I'm viewing Christian programming in the living room and full hearing of my children, not in the quiet of my bedroom alone. I want my children and grandchildren to see the joy faith brings to my life, the happiness I found in God. As parents and grandparents, we should take every opportunity to talk about our family and its history and what God has done for it. I'll tell stories of God's help within my family with joy and laughter, smiling as I share how blessed we are despite difficult times. And remembering a mother's hope. Our hope should always be that our children love God with all their heart, follow Jesus and trust in him fully through the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit in this present time and into the future, and we all meet at home in heaven. Our hope is in Jesus. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Amen. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Ziggy, for sharing such a vulnerable and honest message this morning. We appreciate it. We invite you all to stand as we sing our closing song, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." If you know the actions, please follow along, and then we will close with our benediction.
thank you for leading us in worship. Ziggy, thank you for that personal sharing, and I think many of us can identify with some of the struggles, but also some of the joys you've had as a parent, and so wish you God's blessings. In closing, as you leave from this time of worship, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Go in courage and peace. Go in faith. Amen.